praise the Lord for that. But do be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for, I'll tell you what, well, I was gone for a week of vacation, and during that week, there were a lot of surgeries. A lot of folks went in for surgery, and there were a few that had complications. There was one who had some surgery on legs and had some blood clot issues. As we heard about, Kayla has some bleeding in her throat. She had her tonsils removed. Luke, we had a family this last week who had been driving to the north right at the and met the snowstorm and totaled their brand new car. They are safe. That was the Henrys, Mark and Amy. And they are safe, but the car is gone. But praise the Lord for airbags, because they were kept safe. So be in prayer for the people in your congregation. That's the blessing about a church like this, is because we can come together, we can lift up those needs. And if you are not on the prayer chain, you can do so by, there's still out there, there's a little sign-up sheet. You put your email address on there, and you will receive those as soon as they come into us. We send them out via email, and you can be praying about those things and be lifting up your church family. This is awesome. Have you looked around lately in this church? Have you seen all the new faces? God's moving in this church, folks. He's growing this church. I can tell you that in the last few weeks, some amazing things have happened in this church body. God is doing some healing, some amazing things. Can't tell you about it, but I can promise you that God is on the move in this church, and I'm so thankful for it. And what I want to share with you today, we're going to be in the book of Galatians. You can flip there to Galatians chapter 5. I've been not last week, but the week before that, I was gone to kind of a vacation back to where I grew up, which was Iowa. I'm a farm boy, born and bred, got a chance to go back there, not so much for a vacation, but just to kind of touch base with a lot of people that we had not seen. I'd been away for about 3 years, and so I hadn't seen my father for that long, and several family members. Got to see a friend that I haven't seen for 14. And so this trip was more, not really so much a vacation as it was to kind of just touch base with a lot of people that we hadn't seen for such a long time. And, you know, even on vacation, if your heart's open, God can show you some things. And I was greatly distressed at what I saw and what I heard. Now, my family is probably the oddest family you'll ever meet. Surprise, huh? We come from a lot of different places, and we have a lot of different beliefs, but God's done some amazing things in my family. For those of you who don't know the story, my father and my mother were divorced and remarried, but towards the end of my mother's life, we used to all get together, and my stepmother would hang out with my mother and go shopping. Weird, but praise the Lord. My dad would go over and help my stepdad work on the house. It was some really cool things, and we all came from different places. We all have a little bit of different belief. There's things that we don't quite agree on when it comes to Scripture, little things, but they aren't a big issue, and that's the blessing about this church, because in this church, we come from a lot of different places. Some of you come from the Catholic Church. Some of you have come from denominational churches. Some of you have come from other Calvaries that have just a little bit different slant. Some of you are brand new to the faith. And we all come together, and you know what? The little things that can sometimes divide us, they're not an issue here. We want to teach God's Word as it's written, and we want to try and teach so that we can follow it. This church is about equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. Oftentimes in this church, we are approached about other causes and focuses, and my pastor will always say, no, that's not the purpose of this church. The purpose of this church is to teach God's people God's Word so that they can go out and tell others about Him. So that's what we're here for, and I want to do that today by sharing with you what has been a little bit of a distress on my heart. And we're in Galatians chapter 5, and I want to start there. We're going to just kind of take it a little bit at a time. Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Let's just grab that first verse. It says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Now, live there, the definition of that kind of plays out to be to walk or to dwell. It kind of has a reference to everyday life, that we are supposed to be led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. This is kind of a highlighter verse, as Pastor would say. This is a highlighter passage. You should make sure that you underline that one, because honestly, if we did that in everything, we'd be all right. Amen? If we were seeking the Spirit's guidance and direction in all things and all decisions, we would be all right. We would be seeking the very perfect will of God Himself. And what better place can you be than that? Now, I'm not saying that's the only thing. God's given us His Word to study, and He's given us direction to be a part of a church and to fellowship together, all of those things. I missed you guys while I was gone. That's part of that family that helps bond us together and help us encourage one another. But if we did this, we would be all right. But I am so distressed at what I see today of Christians, people who call themselves Christians, people who I know, I was there when they gave their life to Christ, who don't seek God's direction or guidance in any decision that they make. And that's distressing to me, that we can call ourselves children of the King, but never seek the King on any decision that we would ever make, any path we would ever take. Now, the Scripture says that we would not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. And oftentimes, when we talk about the sinful nature, the first thing that comes to our mind is that bad list that we all have in our head, right? Of all the really bad sins, you know, sexual immorality and stealing and killing and pillaging. But anything contrary to what God has laid out for us is wrong, right? When we seek anything different from what God has laid out for us, we're wrong. I am. Any answer that I have on my own that's not the Spirit's leading, and more I see this from Christians who are making decisions, making choices, making steps in life without ever seeking God. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved because they are, but we are promised the Holy Spirit. When we gave our life to Jesus Christ, He came in, He cleansed me from all sin, He took it away. I have a hope and a future in heaven. Some days I want it to come quicker than others. And I love that, and I have the Spirit there. But the one thing that I wish was different is that I wish He would just make me do all the things that I'm supposed to do. Amen? I mean, have you ever prayed that prayer? God, you know what? I know You've given me free will, but I'd just like You to take it away and make me do all the good stuff. Everything that I'm supposed to, and just make me not care anything about the bad things. But He has given us a choice to follow Him. Every day, a choice. And that truly is our worship to Him. Because you think about your spouse. For those of you who are married or have a boyfriend and girlfriend, or, you know, if your wife, guys, had to make you do everything, well, some of your wives are nudging you going, I do. If your wife had to lay out in the calendar how you were supposed to show her that you love her, when you're supposed to buy her flowers, when you're supposed to do this, when you're supposed to take her out to dinner, it would make it easy for you, but it really wouldn't show much love for her. And the same is with the Savior and the Lord and Savior that we serve. If He lays it out for us and tells us and makes us do everything that we're supposed to, there isn't a whole lot of love behind that. I'm just doing what I'm told to do. He wants us to seek Him. And so when it comes to the use and the direction and the guidance of the Spirit, we have to ask for it. God, fill me. God, direct me. God, guide me. And He will. He's always faithful to do so. Let's read on here. Verse 17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. One of the things we have to realize is that Satan is alive and real. Amen? Do you see him around you? Do you know he's there? He is the prince of this world. And he desires to make you fall. We can all agree upon that, right? Doesn't like Christians, doesn't like it when things go good. You can know when things are going good in this church because things start to happen. He tries to find any weak spot that he can, and he starts to, you know, push and poke and prod and try and take people down. And he does that. But in our own lives, for those of us who are solid Christians, he can't just walk up to us and go, follow me. We're not that stupid. But he's subtle, and he's tricky. And he is on a constant battle to try and make you fall. And if he can get you to make decisions and go in directions in your life without ever seeking God's direction or guidance, then he's winning. Because if something works well, you keep sticking with it, right? So if I make a decision that seems to work well, I keep going in that direction. And sometimes we can step completely away from God's guidance and his direction, and we can find ourselves in a very, very bad spot. And Satan is constantly fighting that battle. One man described it as being this: Christ and Satan longing for the possession of the city of man's soul. God and Satan wanting the possession of that piece of property. It's not an equal fight, because if God wanted to, he could smash Satan to the ground. And if you read the back of the book, it's going to happen. But God and Satan want what we have. They want us. God wants and desires to have us, but he won't make us follow him. He won't make us seek after him. He won't make us look for every part of our lives that we can put into God's hands. He won't make us do that. And Satan, well, he's trickier than that. And he's subtle. And he tries to get us to do the things that we know that we shouldn't do. Even Paul, Brother Paul, who wrote this letter to Galatia, said the same thing. If you'll flip with your Bibles backwards to Romans chapter 7, let's read where Brother Paul kind of tangled with this in a very wordy fashion, and talking about this struggle that he had going on within him, that he knew that God had a plan, God's perfect plan. It was available. All he had to do is call upon it, but he saw this fight going on within him, the sinful nature wanting to rise up and take control. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse 15. Now bear with me, there's a lot of do nots in here, and it goes like this: I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but the sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not good, is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. He saw the struggle within him that was there. And I think that's part of the acceptance of this fight that we fight. The Bible tells us that this is not about flesh and blood, that this is a spiritual battle that's going on, and it is raging even within us. Satan wanting control of our lives, Satan wanting to find some way that he can get us to trip up. And he won't do it just the blatant way. He tries sometimes, but what he usually does is something a little subtle, just to get us kind of make a decision. It really wasn't focused on God. We didn't seek God in it. We didn't ask for his direction. And what do I mean by that? Ask for his direction. How many of you have come up to the front of the church or asked pastor to pray for you about some decision that you have to make? There's something that he always adds to his prayers, and you'll know what I mean if you've ever had him pray for you in this. If you're seeking for God's direction or guidance, he'll say this: God, would you open doors that no man can shut? And will you shut doors that no man can open? Will you make that path so obvious that I'm walking down the hall and I can only see the doors that are open, and I know exactly that that's the direction that I'm supposed to go? Do you want that kind of peace in your life, to know that everything you do, your job, the decision you make with your kids, the decision you made with your finances, where you spend your tax return, if you got one? God desires to do that. He will do that. How many of you experienced that in your life? How many of you know that you've sought God about direction on something and he has laid it out in front of you and made it obvious? He does. And for those of you who have not tested the waters in that, some of you in this room, I don't mean to step on toes, but some of you in this room have given your life to Christ, but you have never asked him after that for any guidance or direction. That's not how the relationship's supposed to work. This is God. This is the one who created this world, everyone in it, you from the very smallest part of a cell. He created you. He knows the beginning because he was there. He knows the end because he's there. And he knows exactly what's going to happen in the middle. So why not go to him for the direction that we need to be able to make the right choice? I want God's perfect will. I want the best for my family. I want the best for my marriage. I want the best that I can do with my finances and my money. Any decision. You know, oftentimes we think that there are things that we shouldn't ask God about for direction. Is there anything that's too small? You know, one of the things, if you're on the prayer chain, is that Sally and Dave work back in midweek with some of the kids, and every once in a while you'll get to see, how many of you have seen in there, they're the prayer requests for the kids from Kids Club? I love those, you know, because they ask for things that are so simple. And us as adults, we've kind of put this list out. Well, it needs to be above this level before we go to God. Now, I don't mean that you step up to the convenience store refrigerator and say, God, should I get the Pepsi or the Coke? It's not like that. It's not like that. But Paul also shows us that if you will seek him, he will show you exactly how this path is supposed to go. He will do amazing things. I'm going to read another scripture for you. It's Acts chapter 16, if you'll flip back there and make you jump around here just a little bit. Acts chapter 16, starting in verse 6. Just a little snippet here. It's just telling us some facts, but I see so much in this of how Paul sought God's direction and guidance, and God gave it to him. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia. Why did they, you know, couldn't they just name a town like Colorado Springs? And Galatia, having been kept, notice this part, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen this vision, he got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Each step of the way, the Spirit shut the door and would not allow them to go. Now, the same Spirit that Paul had access to, we have access to, right? Didn't change, doesn't function differently now. So if I have a choice to seek God and seek his direction and his guidance, so did Paul. The Spirit didn't just go, well, since you're Paul, now I'm going to just make you do everything. I'm just going to just make... So when he says that the Holy Spirit kept him from preaching the word there, Paul was asking for guidance and direction all along the way, and God was showing him exactly where he should go and exactly where he shouldn't go. And God can do the very same for us. The Spirit would not allow him to go to some places. God does not force us to do what he wants us to do. The problem I see is that there are a lot of us in this room, possibly in this room, I pray not in this room, but obviously God wanted this said today, so somebody in this room has not been seeking God in all of the decisions that you're making. Some of you may have entered into business arrangements, and now you're going, man, this is not good. What am I going to do now? Too often we do this, and I've had a couple brothers that we've talked about this just recently, where we go, well, I'm going to do something, and then I'll ask God to bless it. That's not how it works. It's not how God works. God, I did this thing, now you just bless it and make it good. That's not what he asked us to do. What's that verse say in Matthew? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first my direction and my guidance. Seek first me. But we're impatient people because God does not always answer right away, does he? Sometimes there's that waiting time, and we get impatient. Well, God, you know, there's always a reason for it. There's always a reason for the waiting. But there are some of us who are not seeking God in all the areas and all of our decisions. Some of us have not asked for the Spirit's leading once. Ask yourself, have you? Since you gave your life to Christ, do you get down on your knees and say, God, how do you want me to spend my day today? Got some free time. What do you want me to do with that? God, I've got an opportunity for a promotion at work, and I want to know, is this what I'm supposed to do? Could you tell me? Would you make it obvious to me? Our God loves us. He desires to pass that on to us. He desires to speak to our innermost being and tell us that that's what he wants us to do, or that's what he does not want us to do. But we get this do-it-ourselves mentality where we think we can just take care of it on our own and make our own decisions. We don't need God for this. So what would happen if Paul had done that very thing? What happened if Brother Paul, who was miraculously saved on the road to Damascus, you know, he was out there persecuting the church, treating everybody bad, you know the story, and trucking down the road to Damascus, and he's knocked off his horse to the ground and blinded, and God saves him and uses him in such a miraculous way to do amazing things. We read about the stories of Paul. I can't wait to. I think he's going to be a pretty cool guy to meet. I can't wait to get to heaven to be able to meet Brother Paul. I don't think that he'll act like anything special. I think he'll be just like one of the guys, but I can't wait to meet him. But what would happen if Brother Paul had not in his ministry sought God's will and God's direction? What happens if in this situation that we just read about in Acts, what if he just said, you know, I'm going to go. There's probably people there that are going to hell and they need to hear about the Lord. I'm just going to go tell them. Well, he could have been killed. He could have lost his life. So what's the big deal with that? He gets to go to heaven, right? But you know what? Sometimes we make decisions that can knock us out of the direction that God had laid out for us. You see, there are people who need to hear about Jesus Christ, and you're the one that he has planned to tell them. And when we make decisions that are not God's decisions, we can kind of mess that up. Take ourselves out of the position. You could have done that. Paul could have been, you know, if Paul would have died, what would have we would have lost? What would the church, how would that have been damaged? He could have wasted time on unfertile ground. Sometimes as Christians, we think that, well, you know, when it comes to ministry, it's everybody. You know, just go out there and just start preaching the word, stand up on the soapbox. But there are some times when there are people who are just not ready to hear. It's sad. Some of you are thinking of family members right now who are just not ready to hear. You try and share the gospel and they throw up walls. And so God wanted Paul to use his time wisely. He only had a certain amount of time on this world, and God wanted to use every minute of it he could. So he could have wasted his time on ground that was not fertile. He could have cast his pearls before swine. He could have said the wrong thing, went to a place and said the wrong. You know, Paul was a passionate guy. He could have said the wrong thing at the wrong time. I kind of think Paul was a little bit of a hothead once in a while. I know myself, I can be. No amens. But without the Spirit's leading, we can stick our foot in our mouth. And I do this sometimes. My wife's sitting back there, so I have to be really honest right now. I can't embellish. But one of the things, as we've ministered over the years, there are times, and this is usually with family members, that we'll be heading somewhere, and I'll be in the car, and she can tell you this, and I'll be going, you know, when we get there, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to tell them, you know, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and if you don't like it, well, you know, and I lay this all out, and then we pray before we go in, and I get in there, and it doesn't go anything like that. And my wife never runs me down, but she'll often say, well, what happened to all that? You're going to do this and do that. Thank God for the Spirit and for his leading. I can share with you that happened on our vacation, actually. We were on our way to one of the many grandparents' houses, a grandparent that has a drinking problem. And she tends to want to medicate herself before we get there. And I've put up with this for a very long time, and I dislike that, because usually what happens when someone's under the influence, that things that come out of their mouth aren't always appropriate or nice. And I'm very protective of my family, even with other extended family. And so I told, as we're driving, I said, I'm not putting up with this anymore. If I go over there and she's been drinking, I'm going to pull them both in the room and I'm going to tell them this is enough. We won't come over here anymore. You won't see your grandkids. You're not going to do this anymore. This is ridiculous. You have no reason. Driving down the highway and you ever get that little tap on your back from the Spirit? Hey, what about me? And she does this a lot for some fear that she has when we come around. So I said, hey, kids, can we pray for Grandma? And they said, sure. So, of course, they close their eyes. I'm driving, so it's not a good idea to close your eyes when you're driving. And we prayed for Grandma. We prayed for Grandpa, and we prayed for that day. And we got there, and she wasn't drunk. And I could smell a little bit of alcohol. But it turned out to be an incredible afternoon. We got to talk about things that we hadn't been able to talk about for a long time. We got to encourage one another. It was a blessing. It's those times you go, I want to go back again. That was nice. I like that. I could have just not sought the Spirit and stepped in there like a bull in a china closet and just let them all have it. Paul could have done that too. He could have gotten caught up in pride and strayed away from God. And how often do we see that in our news today? That good men of God, leaders in the church, who stop seeking God's leadership and direction in things in their lives, and they get caught up in pride, they get caught up in sin, and it takes them out of ministry. And not only does it take them out of ministry, but it takes a wide group of other people with them. Well, Galatians, as we read on here, back to Galatians in chapter 5, warns us that we should be careful of. And again, remember I told you in the beginning, be careful that when we talk about, when it talks about gratifying the desires of the sinful nature, we tend to drift to that big list of really bad stuff and think, well, I'd never do any of that, so I don't have to worry about it. Let's read verse 19. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Those are the bad things. Oh, what are these? Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, and then back to drunkenness and orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Anything contrary to the Spirit is wrong. It's anything that is contrary to the Spirit is not God's perfect plan. And He has a plan. The Maker of all things wants to let you know exactly how you are to live your life, the decisions that you're to make. I met a man, and there's an office place down here on Platt Avenue, just on the other side of Academy, big, it says used office furniture. Got to meet that brother the other day. And he's a Christian. And as soon as he knew I was as well, he, of course, started preaching. And he shared with me about his business. And I was really encouraged what he said. He said, I sought God for a long time before I made this step to do this. Because I asked him, I said, how is God blessing your business? And he said, oh, it's great. Even in this slow economy, we're doing an awesome amount of business. We're able to purchase things and sell things. So if you need office furniture, I don't get a cut. And he said, I couldn't do anything less, because I don't want to have to stand before God and have to say, yeah, I didn't seek you on that, or him go, what's this business? So I didn't give you that direction, that guidance. What are you doing there? He wanted to make sure that every decision that he made was directed by God. And I was just impressed from that by a businessman who would make sure before he took that step and stepped in there. And God's blessing it. When we do things God's way, He can bless it. When we do things our own way and try and ask Him to come in and fix it now. But I want to encourage you in this. If you have made some steps in your life, and maybe there's someone in the room who's made some big decisions recently, and you go, I just didn't see God in it. You still have a chance. It's not over. You need to get on your knees. You need to say, God, I've done this. I made this decision. I made this commitment. And I'm just not sure and I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. Is this where I'm supposed to be? Because even if you made the wrong decision, God can help fix that too. He can fix it. Doesn't mean he's going to bless where you're at. He might. But he can fix it. As I mentioned earlier, Matthew 6, 33 and 34 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." See, the God we serve cares about you and cares about your life, and he has a plan for your life. And if we'll seek him and ask him, he will direct in his time, not always instantly. If you think you're going to get on your knees and then you step up and like a piece of paper, I've always wanted that. Wouldn't that be cool? If you just like, okay, God, on page number 794, if you could just put a piece of paper that says the answer to my prayer, what I'm supposed to do next, when I get up, I'll just flip it up. I wish it was that quick, but sometimes he does make me wait, and sometimes it's not anything that I planned before, and we've talked about that before. You know, you pray about, God, I have a financial need, I need to go get a job, or I need to sell this or sell that, but I don't want to do anything before I ask you first, and God, would you just, and he does. I won't say who it was, but a few years ago, my mother was very ill and was passing away. She's in heaven with God now. And we didn't have the money to make it back. And things were tight. And so we're praying and trying to see, you know, I'm a fixer, like a lot of guys. What can I sell? You know, I'm looking around. I can go to the pawn shop. I can pawn this if I need to, you know, and look into things that I can try and get some money. But I just said, God, you got to take care of this because I have no idea what we're going to do. And we were packing the car, and some great brothers and sisters who I love very much came pulling down the road. We're like, who's that? Why are they here? And they handed us some money. Wow. Thank you, God. You know best. That was just a blessing to me. And it wasn't the way I planned it. God had an answer on how he wanted us to meet the need. And when we make God's, seeking God's word or direction, when we're seeking the Holy Spirit on a daily basis, it will become habit. It will become where you go first. You won't make a choice or a decision without going to your knees and asking God what you should do next, how you should handle this. Some of you are worried about losing your jobs right now. We're in that kind of a market right now. I know some of you have shared that, you know, you're just on the verge. And I've been blessed by the brothers and sisters who've said, you know what, I don't, whatever. God's in control. He's got the plan worked out. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen next. I don't know where I'm going to go next. But he does, and I'm cool with that. What kind of peace can God bring to your life when you seek him first? I'm going to finish out with just one last verse. It's in Isaiah 20, chapter 26, verse 7, and it says, "The path of the righteous is level. O upright one, you make the way of the righteous smooth." God promises to make our way smooth, not without trouble, not without trial. Even when we're seeking his perfect will, it doesn't mean we aren't going to go through some pretty tough struggles. And some of you can share some stories that you know you were in the perfect will of God, but there were some really rough times. But God says that if we'll put our trust in him, put our focus in him, that he'll make our way smooth. Well, how does he make it smooth? Because he's walking before me. He's the one leading the way. He's already stepped down the rough spots. He leads me, and I can trust him, and I can know with confidence that if I'll follow him, everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out because I'm following God's perfect will. So I want to just throw that out to you today. I know that last week I heard that there were some amazing things that happened in both of our services last week. And for those of you who were prayed for by Brother Dean, if you're thinking, some of you probably after I heard some of the stories thought, Pastor Jim and Tracy must have talked to him ahead of time and let him know some of the things about us. He knew nothing. God has just blessed that young man with a prophetic gift. He knew things about people that there was just no way that he could know. He was blessed by that. But the way that he got that way was by being led by the Spirit in everything that he does and says. God led him there. It wasn't him. God wants to use you in amazing ways. He wants you to seek Him today, to stop doing things on your own and start seeking Him in everything that you do. Maybe it's for some of you, it means that you're just going to have to get on your knees for a couple hours and start praying about everything that's going on in your life. Every relationship that you've started, every business venture, every place that you've invested your money, and just say, God, I want to know, is this where I'm supposed to be? Because if it's not, I'll change it. I'll change my job if I have to. Sounds a little scary, doesn't it? But if it's not where He wants you, some of us might be desperate in these times and you see a job pop up and you just take it. And maybe it's not where God wants you to be. God has a plan for you, a perfect plan, and He wants you to seek it. So we're going to pray here, and the elders are going to come up front. And if you know what? If we can pray for you, if there's something that you are seeking to know God's will, let us pray for you. Let us seek God on your behalf and pray that God would just open doors that no man can shut and shut doors that no man can open, that path is laid out as clear as possible for you. He can do that, and He will do that if you ask Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we are a blessed people. You have been good to us, and You are so patient with us. Sometimes we fall far short of the goal, and You're right there to pick us up. We just need to reach out our hands. And I pray, Father, if there be anybody in this room who has taken steps without Your guidance and Your direction, that they would begin to test that relationship by calling out Your name and saying, God, would you show me where You want me to be, what You want me to be doing? Whatever it is, maybe it's with the relationship, maybe it's in their marriage, their kids, any decision, every decision. Father, if we have slipped from Your perfect will, from Your where